This is the second interview with Mrs. Maxie Williams. My name is Brenda Goodwin. We are in Seneca, November the 27th, 1989. Pardon me, the end of the first interview. Okay, let's go back to something that you were talking about when the tape ran out. I had asked you about your mother and her schooling, and you said you didn't know how some of them learned to read in the first place. You don't remember. Did the Masa have a school for them to learn, or?
I'm pretty sure that on the Grant side, I'm trying to get the other nanny coming there from Boston, Maxwell. Old Captain Maxwell, I believe, was some of her slaves, taught some of those slaves to read. Then from that on, you see, it come down on that Maxwell and Grant side. There was always somebody in somewhere from somewhere could read. And they turned out after slavery to be teachers and doctors from that generation. And I'm sure it was either the Maxwells or Grants. See, that was my mother's slave origination. And Grants and Maxwell and Gaines, that's right.
What years?
Well, way back down in the 17, I reckon, you see. That's what I'm saying. See, that was before my mother, her parents. And I don't know if they had such a thing to say, yeah, so-and-so. Like I said, the year 42, 1989. See, I just learned to use that lately. And so back then, just ordinary talking, you'd have to go back. And there's not much history written down. You'd have to go to a tombstone. And there wasn't many real tombstone, but in the color, they used flat rocks. And they would write on that, died, the son of so-and-so, and died such and such a year.
Are all of your family's tombstones marked, the ones that are buried at Shallow and...
Oh, well...
And Oconee, are they, their tombstones
marked? Yeah, they marked. Now, my mother's daddy, Uncle George Regler, that was my mother's daddy. The gangs of Townville put a tombstone, Stobart tombstone, to him in her mother's grave, and they are marked. They're in the cemetery now. But now she had some babies, and some of her sisters that was buried there. They tombstone not marked, but they're buried there. They got a sign on. You know, put there with cut in it, rock or something, but the white people put a tombstone to my grandfather and grandmother on my mother's side. Because Mr. Big Gang, now that was some of the extra, 8 pounds or something, he says, told his wife, says, what was his wife's name way back young before? Mom. Since I want to be, said, one thing I'm going to ask you before I die. And I want you to promise that, well, now I don't know. What is it? When I die, I want you to bury me out there in Shallow Cemetery with George and Classy. See, now that was my grandmother and the black. So them black people ain't going to let you bury them in their grave. But that's where I want to go, out there with Classy and George. Now that's how close they were. I try to say they've always been a closeness and a love there. We messed it up.
Who was Classy and George?
That was my grandparents, my mother's parents.
Mother's parents. What were their last names?
Regler.
Regler.
Uh-huh.
It's Classy and George?
Regler. I don't know how to spell that, regular spell something, like that, but that was, now that was my mother's parent. But now she come in there from every side of Grant's, Maxwell's, and Gaines, as you see. See how it's mixed in there? Maybe a man regular his slave master might have been Maxwell, when one of the children married to give him, you know, the name, that's how they got the name. Because all of her uncles and aunts, because the Rileys, all, they're the same family that the Grants and regulars was, but they got different names. They're brothers and sisters, but they're signed now, and, you know, and got different names. It would be real interesting if I had a cousin and my mother was living to hear them tell it would really be it. And you know, then, if I'd have known, I'd have wrote down, that's what we ought to do. Write down what they tell us and keep it. But we just like, oh, Mama Santa, when you was a little girl, what did y'all do? And that's it, but...
Did you ever have a Bible that was yours when you were a little girl that you wrote your parents or grandparents' names down in?
And don't talk about my Bible, the child. Get it to New York. I earned the Bible when I was a little girl for learning the 5th chapter of Matthew. Seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain. When he was set, and he opened his mouth and told him so well. Now, I learned that when I was just a kid and a white lady. They had the Sunshine Vine in their church, and she was trying to organize one of the black church up here in Philly. And she give us these Bible verses, and I remember mine. I wasn't going to let nobody else get one if I didn't get none.
That's how you got your Bible. Does your grandchild have your Bible in New York?
I hope she still got it.
What about any of the funerals that went on that were in your family or in the community when you were very small? Do you remember any of those?
Mm-hmm. The first funeral I remember was my mama's sister, Adeline Jones. She was Adeline, my mama's sister. And it was in Charlotte. And they... At that time, they had what they call a black, silly-looking thing. It had tassels and was pulled by 2 horses or 3 horses. But anyway, they put them in there. It was a coach you like. I can see that thing today, honey.
How old were you then?
Oh, I don't know, 6. When I was 5 or 6. See, we didn't go to school. I started school.
1914, then. Say, it was a coach like?
Yeah, Bodie got these, and it was pulled by horse, and it was black, and had tassels. You'd close the curtain in it, and you know that was the hearse coming. They say, when the hearse is riding, you know they'll spin to my door, all that. But I can see, well, that was my mama's sister, Adeline Young. That's the first somebody's funeral.
Did you walk to, she had a funeral at the church?
Yeah, oh yeah, we don't go have no graveside. That's something we're going to pick it up, because you all do. But we have church funerals. Him in the church, later used to when they died, the neighbors would go in and dress them.
At the house,
lay them out in the company room, and then the community would come in here, what they call weeks now. We call it setting ups. You go and set up and sing, pray, and carry that on during the setting up time.
How did they prepare the body? The neighbors did it?
Yeah, they washed it and put on some clothes.
There were no undertakers, though.
No, they didn't. No,
embalm them.
No, they didn't embalm. And if it was cold, you see, you could keep them out pretty good. And if it wasn't, well, you had to, bear them hurriedly.
And neighbors came in and you had sitting up periods?
Oh, yeah, we had the same thing they have now. Calling a week, we had the sitting up on the... Instead of them playing that music, we used our mouth and sang and said our prayers.
Did they bring food in and the whole family?
Yeah, didn't have so much food then, but then after we found out the white folks was using food and getting drunk, then they went to bring food, and now you can't fill them up. They quit shouting and singing and going eating.
So you'd used it as a prayer service?
Yeah, we used it as a prayer service. We definitely did.
What else do you remember about the funerals?
And you didn't carry flowers all and have flower scopes then. You came to church, the preacher would preach, and he'd shout, Nelson, and come on out there and bury him.
Where were they buried? Usually at the church cemetery?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you just walked to the church
cemetery?
Yeah,
come out to church and walk. Yeah, I don't like thinking about funerals then, and I remember quite a few for when I was a child. And it was always so sad.
Whose other funerals do you remember?
Oh, my cousin died. They had typhoid fever broke out, and a lot of people just died up, you know. See, they moaned and groaned. And they put them in heaven, then you see that angel when he flew down all of that morning, late at night, and all that, and I just remember people shouldn't carry children to funeral.
Did it scare you?
It depressed me or something I still can hear. There's some things children are supposed to be exposed to. You see, their brains is tender and they make a deep impression on them and they don't forget it. It depends on the impression it makes on that ridge. It don't go away. Because I know a lot of things that I witness as a child. I blank them out now.
Who had the coach for the funeral? Was that one person that had that in all the families in
no,
the community?
No, you see now. There's always been a funeral undertaker man, or a burying man. Some business, the notary public in the community done the marriage and a whole lot of things. And then you could come here to the dry goods store in Seneca, the big dry goods store, sold caskets, food, Joanna. Everything was stolen by your casket, and you could haul it home in the wagon if you want to, and put the body in it there because you done it. Well, a little later on, Mr. Woods, there used to be a Mr. Woods here, he got where he used the hearse, the thing with the wheels, motor, so like you now, and you bought your casket there. He had one for the white and one for the black, and he had a black man that drove that for the black, you know. But they always had this thing, somebody in the community, you know, a businessman that furnished everything. And you.
How could, did you pay for that? And do you remember, you said you went to your aunt's funeral, was the first one you remember back in like 1914. Do you remember your mother talking about how they paid for that funeral?
Oh, no, they paid for it. Because a lot of time them caskets was made, but I believe they bought her son might have went to Anderson and got a, they called them coffin then, when those three things were casket, coffin. And it was kind of like wide up here and narrow down here like the feet, and it was gray. And I think you could get them for $10 or $11, and they passed the hat at the funeral. And while you was in sympathy with everybody, you'd put in a quarter. You know, they paid for it. It was always a way to make ends meet. And then we have always been a, just like you see them buy flowers now, there was always somebody willing to help with what they had. And things are still killed.
Did anybody, when you were small, did anybody ever make the caskets that you know of in the family?
No, I don't have, but I've heard it, but I didn't see one that would did say, you know, go we under the, I was trying to think that old man that was a white man, Palmer, had a shop, and I think, you know, a lot of people, during that flu season.
When
did this flu break out and so many people died of it? Whole family just died out. Of course, that ain't been so long ago. You don't call in anxious. It was World War I, about 19 and 17 and 18, that flu broke out. Because you see, World War I was going on and nobody could get, families just died up because nobody could get out and go wait on them. Couldn't carry food to them. And, well, that was 16 or 17, right along through there. And then in 18 of November, my daddy brought a bale of cotton. The whistles began to blow and the bell to ring. And I remember my mom and a white lady running and shouting all over the cotton patch. The war, she had children in the war and my head broke. The war was over, and they shouting praise the Lord. My daddy come in, brought a whole lot of fish. The war was over from Seneca. Everybody was ringing and blowing the horns. The war was over.
And you had two brothers that were in the war. Mm-hmm. Is that all of your family that was in the war?
At that time, yes. In World War I.
Where did they go and what did they do?
My one brother went to France and I don't know what he done, but he sent Mama a card and says, this on this card, that card was here. And I looked for it the other day because we kept it in her thing. He sent her a card, just badly scratched. We shoot these many bullets every second or something. But it had the bullets, you know. It was a card, a scenery card-like, but it had bullets on. And then my other brother, he didn't get any further than Fort Jackson. And it was over. And this one I'm talking about went to France and never wore. He was only, he run his age up and told him he was 16 years old. And he was only 15 years old in July of 1913. He was 14 years old, but he run his age up and volunteered and went all over the sea and didn't get a scratch on it.
How did he, you said you didn't know what he did, but he sent something back about he was shooting guns.
Yeah, he was, what'd be called, but anyhow.
Infantry?
Yeah, he was in the infantry. And said, Mama, pray, we shoot these many shells every 3 seconds, every 4 seconds. And I know the song was this woman, her son was over there, and she had a little crippled boy. She'd come down the road. We going over there and get old Kaiser. Just wait till my get old son get over there and get old Kaiser Bill. And I thought you're talking about a little boy. His name was Bill. And but she's talking about, you know, they called the man then old Kaiser. I'm going in and get old Kaiser. And I look, I said, she got Kaiser. I hope she don't do that. I yet they got children, you know. But that was the time that everybody was upset. And everybody, white and black, was in cooperation with one another in prayer. Did you know it? Honey, I've seen men, women, hugging and crying and praying when that war was going on in Germany or France, wherever it was. Yes, sir.
When it was over with, did they get together, blacks and whites, and celebrate?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody, wherever you met, I did. My mama shouted, I can see that field, and this Miss Crawford. Lord, they shouted, they prayed, they sang, and they clapped.
How did the war affect the lives of your brothers?
Well, one of them, the oldest brother, the one that was drafted, he went to be, well, he's staying there, yeah, but it mentally, he just didn't get over it. And he lived, he just died, Jim, 5 years ago. He was at Tuskegee Veterans Hospital there. But he just never did readjust back.
Well,
He didn't know us, I mean, because we were children when he went in, and he knew the existence, we'd go see him. And he said, well, little old dame, this is her. He said, I'm talking about that little girl. You see, we were children when he saw me. And we grew up and lived inside, as you see. But he finally died 5 years ago.
What about the other brother? How did it affect him?
Oh, it didn't affect him, that nigga went in. Oh, he never did come back in to live. And he died in Chicago a few years ago. After he got out of the discharge, he sent my mama some money and said, I'll be home Christmas. But he didn't come. He sent us some more money and spooled it in Chicago I think he had TB because he contracted TBs in France. And they put him in the hospital and he stayed, you know, when they discharged Baltimore. And he got better, but I reckon after he got out, he didn't take care of himself because he died young than he should have. But honey, you don't know how to tell you. This world, if your history could just get 1 month's history straight, you wouldn't have nowhere to write it.